As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, July the 1st. It's July 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news. Hard facts and workable solutions for your every day, but today we're a little short on news. Anyway, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're most certainly not alone. But you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, hanging on by our fingernails. Freedom is popular. Remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on at Bookmark, becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. Again, that's 512-904-8014. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. Hoping to work my way through that email basket over the weekend. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, 65647. We'll accept your checks for $1 million, too. A big shout-out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, reallibertymedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStream Live, all carrying this broadcast today. Thank you so very much for doing so. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Getting all that info out of our way. Precious metals lose ground this morning following gains in the equities. The U.S. dollar index up as oil down. Well, that's kind of like a repeating prophecy, isn't it? 235th anniversary of signing of the Declaration of Independence. Yep, long wind weekend straight ahead. Planning Commission, smart growth, floodplain, buyouts, business as usual. All kinds of stuff in the pile here for today. Let's go to our market report for this morning. Put this behind us. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold trading down at $1,488.20 an ounce. That's $1,488.20. Red ink off $12.10, below $1,500. Not liking it. Silver off 78 cents at $33.94. Don't like that either. Platinum off $15 at $1,707. At least that's not killing me. Palladium off $5 at $749. Don't like that one either. Lows and the highs of the gold spot market this morning, relatively widespread shaping up. The lows of $1,484.80, the high at $1,502.80. Not looking too good. Wonder where it'll go today. But at $1,488.20, your gold is up year to year, $288.80 an ounce for a 24.08% return on your investment. The London gold fix this morning, the price fixtures set the price below $1,500, which they hadn't done that, but they did, at $1,492.75. You got a gripe? Take it up with the London Bullion Market Association, lbma.org. The SPDR gold shares this morning, unchanged from yesterday. They claim to be holding 1,208.23 metric tons in their electronic trader chest, valued on State Street at these bullion prices at $58.5 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, don't know how they did it, but they did it, up yesterday at 153 points, closing out at 1214. Cover the rest of that right after this.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a Failed Economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, heading into a long weekend for many. 235th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence coming up straight ahead. Anyway, we're back Friday, July the 1st, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Didn't find a lot of good news. Gold being off $12.10 at $14.88.20. Silver off 78 cents at $33.94. Platinum down 15 bucks at $1,707. And palladium off 5 bucks at $749. I don't know. Miracle, miracle. Dow Jones Industrial Average on yesterday closed up 153 at 12,414. Where's that 6,500 Dow there? Some people make forecasts that just seem to be a long ways off. NASDAQ up 33 at 2774. The S&P closed up 13 at 1,321. Big news, I guess, this morning, crude oil driving everything else down. Nowhere near low enough for my liking. But anyway, off $1.43 at $93.99. Those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude, West Texas Intermediate, delivered as it is at the Cushing Hub in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning, up 10 basis points. We're going to talk a little bit about foreign exchange here in a moment. Up 10 basis points at 74.46. Of course, it impacts the foreign exchange rates where it's all red ink. Anyway, the Canadian loonie off 8 basis points at $1.03. The Mexican peso off 30 basis points at 9 cents. The euro off 15 at $1.45. The British pound off 17 at $1.60. And the Swiss franc down 72 basis points at $1.18. The two-year yield this morning, the U.S. Treasury's bonded indebtedness, the yield on the 2 years, 0.44%. Coming up just a little bit of a fuzz there. The 10-year at 3.14 and the 30 at 4.36 this morning. And the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages moving down from 3.77% a month ago to 3.73. But yesterday I made a note to myself during the broadcast that in the 30-year we might have hit a bottom, at least a temporary bottom. And yesterday it was flat on both the a month prior and now. But a month ago in the 30-year it was 4.53% for those 30-year fixed-rate mortgages on a national average. This morning, increasing at 4.57, first days in a long time that we've seen it going the other way. So it's starting to move back up again. If you have any mortgage business to tend to, you might want to think about it, put it on the top of your to-do list. Prime rate at 3.25% and standing. The whole gold-to-silver ratio this morning, 43.85% to 1. Going into our book, textbook here, not much for the news. We'll cover some of the issues maybe later in the broadcast. The Introduction to Business, Gloss Baker. Again, this textbook, you know, it was $6.20. The big stamp here. This is one of the old time, you know, back in the old days when we used to have those ink pad stampers. Well, they put an ink pad stamp price in here of $6.20. Before that, it was $3.25. Well, anyway, 1, 2, 3, 4 different students owned this book as of January of 1969. One of them was foolish enough to put their social security number under their signature. I don't know why they would bother to do that, but anyway, they did. But this is the Introduction to Business, a textbook for the first course in business on the collegiate level, published by the Southwestern Publishing Company, copyright in 1967. We'll return to Chapter 11. Yeah, Chapter 11, like bankruptcy, International Aspects of Business, a very interesting chapter in this book. Of course, it was untouched by the students. The studentia never even looked at it. I'm in about 350 pages into this 700-page textbook. Of course, most people don't read college textbooks when they go to school. They party, they get drunk, they get laid. Well, did I say that? Well, they do that, too. Anyway, spend most of the time, I guess, noshing in the pit, as they say. Don't bother to read the textbooks. This book was hardly touched. And I don't know how much time in a one-quarter course you might be able to devote to the textbook, but apparently they didn't devote very much time to it. And that's typical. And again, there's four signatures. Four students had this book, and there's only a couple of underlines in it. Apparently, the students were pretty bored. But here's a section that I thought rather interesting on foreign exchange. This is how it goes. Untouched by human hands, unread by human eyes. Foreign exchange is concerned with the methods whereby buyers and sellers in international trade pay and receive payment for goods and services. Okay, so every morning we go through the foreign exchange, tell you what the U.S. dollar index is. That's a trade-weighted basket of currencies. All right, the USDX, you can go up on theice.com, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., little trade-weighted basket of currencies, and it seems to drive everything. Any changes in the U.S. dollar index impacts everything in the market. But again, foreign exchange is concerned with the methods whereby buyers and sellers in the international trade pay and receive payment for goods and services. If you want to do business in Mexico today, you're going to need to show up with pesos in your pocket, not with U.S. dollars. If you want to do the same in Canada, you're going to need to show up with Canadian loonies, the Canadian dollar. They don't want your U.S. dollars in foreign exchange, right? So they create these trade barriers where, because we don't have a uniform medium of exchange, we've got all of this hoodoo voodoo that goes on all the time, and there's lots of money to be made. Now, it continues, and it says, money is seldom shipped abroad in the settlement of international trade transactions. And when we're reading this in 1967, and they use the term money, they're talking about money. Money, like gold or silver, all right? I'm not talking about Federal Reserve notes. Well, they're using them, but that's not what everybody at this time had on their mind. The typical method of settlement, key phrase there, method of settlement, is by means of bills of exchange. So when we think of method of settlement, then, of course, I put a note here, my own footnote under the page, Bank of International Settlements, you see. The Bank of International Settlements. Here we are, the International Aspects of Business. The typical method of settlement we're settling these bills of exchange, all right? By bills of exchange, the typical method of a settlement is by bills of exchange. So, you know, I'll look at your Federal Reserve note and go, is this a bill of exchange? Which are nothing more nor less than the drafts, key phrase there, drafts, used in domestic trade. Again, we're back in 1967. We're sitting in a college classroom. This is what was happening then. Except that when they may be written in terms of francs or marks instead of dollars. All right? Again, bills of exchange. Number one, the use of bills of exchange. When an exporter sells goods or renders service to a foreign importer. Now, yesterday, we were talking, visiting with Vicki Davis about these foreign trade zones once again. We talked about outsourcing and offshoring of our work in our companies. We've also talked about foreign direct investment and some many things like that we hear in the news. So we're finding out more about it right now. When an exporter sells goods or renders services to a foreign importer, he draws a bill of exchange, ordering the importer, notice the word ordering, ordering the importer to pay him a stated amount of money, either on site or a specified number of days in the future. Since he ordinarily will not want to wait until it matures to cash it, he takes it to the bank and discounts it. So now we're talking about discount windows, discounting. All right. And why would he not want to wait until it matures to cash it? Well, that's what they say here. He does it. So he goes in and he discounts it. So the money masters begin. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the oraclebroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to oraclebroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so after the past couple of years when Oracle came into existence and onto the air, you know, we've been gaining, you know, recognition in the Internet talk radio business, I guess you'd say, or our enterprise for quite some time. Now we're getting up there near the top most days. Our broadcasters are consistently, you know, coming in and weighing in up near the top of the pile in all this, which is a really good thing. Now, Doug Owen and Lee Rogers have gone out of the way and taken their time and their energy, put their minds to the creation of this network, and you know, I think that we can all help them. They've created links to all different manners, and I don't understand all this stuff, folks. No way near. You can look at my website and know that I don't know much about websites. But anyway, they've given us all different ways of listening to broadcasts. We can listen via TalkStream. You can listen on Shoutcast. You can listen on all these various apps and things like that. And if it's just within your ability to do so, you might plug around. The more times that you click in on these various things, and the more times that the Oracle Broadcasting, all the various broadcasts here show up, you know, on different players and get into different chat rooms, well, then the more people know that we're here. The one thing that we could use is a 10, 20, 30% increase in number of listeners. That gives our sponsors more people to appeal to, gives us, as the hosts, the opportunity to speak to an ever greater, larger audience, getting the word out to more and more people. So whatever you can do as a listener, that's an easy way that you can help. Listen on TalkStream for one day, maybe listen on Shoutcast the next, listen on one of your apps the next day. Well, if you know where the Oracle Broadcasting Network is and our players, you know, you can always come back and download for your downloads and get your archives and things like that. But listen around on the various apps if you're at all technically savvy and can do that. Now back into the discussion, looking at, again, foreign exchange. And we come up with all these simplistic ideas. So many people, it just amazes me, puerile and sophomoric, you know, looking at the world as if it was just three sticks and two stones. It's a much more complex issue than that. As we went through with Vicky just on the foreign trade zones, we get the law, you know, as Hal Anthony likes to say, we get the black and white in our eyes. I always like to say we go to the sources, we go to the actual books, we read their material, and then we're armed with that material when we go out and find ourselves becoming vocal local at a local council meeting, any of these boards and councils, the Soviets, etc. So it really helps if we understand things, and if we're looking to be that solution set, if we want to be that the replacement set for this inordinately insane government that we have today, you know, we're going to need to arm ourselves with knowledge. And so we go back to the textbooks and look at things like this. But to understand how complex foreign trade has become, and intentionally so, if we know more about it, you know, we're only the better for it. So that's why I'm sharing this information. This is a complex little puzzle that they've built here. Again, when an exporter sells his goods or renders a service to a foreign importer, let's say that you become an entrepreneur, you come up with some idea and you want to get involved with this, how do you go about doing it? Well, you know, if you're working off the Internet, that's cool. You know, you can probably do PayPal's or I don't know. They have foreign exchange. They can do calculations, currency conversions and all that. You can put it on credit cards. But the way that it's done in big business is through these bills of exchange and foreign exchange rates. When an exporter sells goods or renders services to a foreign importer, he draws a bill of exchange, ordering the importer to pay him a stated amount of money either on site or a specified number of days in the future. And these are both instruments, different kinds of financial instruments, which we've discussed in the past when we studied Delvaux and Hauer's The Principle of Business Law. Since he ordinarily will not want to wait until it matures to cash, he takes it to his bank and discounts it. We hear about this discount rate all the time. All right? This transaction may be effected before the bill of exchange is presented to the importer if his credit standing is good. Otherwise, time must be spent to send it to him for acceptance, offers and acceptance, and for its return before the exporter can present it for a discount. So they're just words. You know, we're not economists here. just understanding, trying to understand what's going down. The discounting bank or its larger city correspondent simply credits the bill of exchange to its account in the country where it was drawn, and when the bill becomes due, it is presented to the importer by a bank in its own country, and payment is effected. Now, they use the word payment here. And, of course, at this time in foreign exchange, payment was still possible. Today, payment is not possible. We use neither gold nor silver. And the transaction completed without any money being sent from the importer to the exporter. It's kind of like a shell game. It's a hoodoo voodoo game. All right? No money going anywhere, baby. This same discounting bank is then in a position to sell drafts on its foreign balances to American importers, who thus reimburse the bank for the money it paid to the American exporter when it discounted his original bill of exchange. Likewise, the importer has funds available abroad for the payment of the amount that he owes to the exporter in that country without sending actual cash. There's no money going anywhere. It's just ledger account entries, bookkeeping, all right? Been around for a while. You can go all the way back to the King's Highway. I think the city of Petra, it's kind of like a stronghold, was a central bank, a central merchant's bank, a commercial bank on the King's Highway. As the Bible teaches, you know, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few they are that find their way in thereat. You look at that, I think CAPT, C-A-P-T, Petra, put those two together in a search engine, you may be able to come up with the book. And look at some of the photographs of Petra. Yeah, there was a temple, they went up to the high places there and did their sacrificing, but these were very unusual creations, if you will. It's like a very narrow sandstone, walled-in valley, not walled in by man, but walled in by nature. The only way in or the only way out was a very narrow opening in the rocks. And it was very low, overhang, with hundreds of feet of stone above it. So you couldn't just come charging in, you know, with your long sword drawn on the back of a camel. You'd actually have to get down off the camel, get the camel unloaded, push all of the goods and the wares and everything through, then get the camel to come in on its knees, which they can do, by the way, and then get the camel to stand back up again. Now you're inside of the town. Now you're inside of the bank. Now you can do business and commerce. And I would imagine that not everybody in the caravan would come into the banking place. But you wouldn't be able to just storm it with a bunch of people. It'd be a highly defensible location, Petra. You might take a look at it. Anyway, it's in the Near East. Let's go to the next one, rates of exchange. Bills of exchange are bought and sold in the so-called foreign exchange market, which is located in the large financial centers of the United States and of the world. The prices of these bills are known as rates of exchange. So we talk about foreign exchange rates every morning. Before World War I, now that's something that you rarely find in books these days, of course, when gold could be shipped between countries, before World War I, when gold could be shipped between countries. These exchange rates, I shared this with you briefly yesterday, were kept within narrow limits because of the possible alternative of actually shipping gold. Today, there's nothing there. You know, we say that the Constitution, bind them down with the change of the Constitution. Today, there's nothing limiting. These things go wherever they want to go. Why? Because there's no money involved. There's no gold involved. There's no silver involved. At present, well, let's go on. Before World War I, when gold could be shipped between countries, these exchange rates were kept within narrow limits because of the possible alternative of actually shipping gold in or out of the country if the price of the bills of exchange exceeded the cost of shipping the gold. We talk about gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium, physical possession. Have it in your hands, in your possession. It's private. It's portable. You can ship it. Be right back.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online. Worldwide. at OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live.
Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So as you get looking at Chapter 11 and international aspects of business out of this collegiate level introduction to business course, I don't know, little Timmy Geithner might have weighed his way through this textbook when he was going to school. Put out in 1967. Going back, taking a look, seeing what some of the things that were being taught then. So many of the people that are in the high places today, they got educated this away. Anyway, lots has changed. Not to say that not every young person out there today isn't just 100% razor sharp, but some of them seem to have lost the sheen from their edge. Continuing, and I heard a couple of callers into Blacklisted News Radio last night with Doug Owen that were really, really encouraging. I mean, young people had really had their heads screwed on straight, talking some serious stuff about science. You know, so to each his own. But anyway, let's continue. At present, this says now, under rates of exchange, international aspects of business, rates of exchange, at present, gold cannot be shipped. And that's the truth. Except in rare instances. So in 1967, they could no longer ship gold. Before World War I, gold could be shipped. Except in rare instances, hence the demand for and the supply of the bills of exchange determine their price or their rate of exchange. So is it the increase and the decrease in the crude oil, as the news writers would lead us to believe, that changes the foreign exchange rates and does all this other mayhem in the market? Or is it just simply the demand for and the supply of bills of exchange. Thus, if American exporters sell a lot more to importers in India, or today, you see how they phrased it then in 67? Today we would have to say, thus, if the East Indian exporters sell a lot more to importers in America than vice versa, the supply of the bills will exceed the demand. They got more foreign exchange rates. It's all flooding in here. And they're sitting in these banks, quote unquote, on account, so to speak. But it's a one-way trip. Everybody's heard about these ocean-going cargo containers. They're shipped from Asia to the West, full of goods and materials. And we don't have anything to put in there except for, I guess, Lazy Boys and Frito-Lay potato chips. And unless you want a lot of Lazy Boys to send to the people in the East who never have time to sit down anyway, working from sun up to sundown as they do, and longer, and they're not really too interested in potato chips. These days, they'd rather eat beef. Anyway, we don't have anything going the other way. That means that over here, we got all these foreign exchange bills piling up. Bills of exchange piling up in America. Got to do something with them all. Thus, again, if American exporters sell a lot more to importers in India than our importers buy from India exporters, the supply of bills will exceed the demand, the rate of exchange will go down, and the exporters will be harmed as their bills will bring less in the market. So every time the East Indians or the Chinese or the Koreans fill up a cargo container with goods and ship it this way, their bills of exchange bring less and less in the market. Likewise, importers in all countries will be encouraged to buy more in India by virtue of the lower price of the instruments used to pay for the purchases. In time, they claim, a balance will be reached that will bring the rate up again. So they're hoping that their funny money system, these bills of exchange and foreign exchange, they're hoping that because their system is created the way their system was created, that it'll ultimately balance. Well, it doesn't balance too well. But then we came to the next section in the textbook, recent developments in international trade. After World War I, particularly during the Depression years of the 1930s, and again since World War II, now this is verbiage you just don't get in modern writing, the intrusion of all governments into the international trade picture has been noteworthy. Key phrase, the intrusion of all governments into the international trade picture ever since World War II. And the following are the principal events that have featured this development. And they're going to list eight. Here they are. Export controls, exchange restrictions, the Trade Expansion Act, the Export-Import Bank, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the International Monetary Fund, the General Agreement on Tariff and Trade, that's GATT, and then eight foreign trade zones. And so I just mentioned yesterday that we discovered it here as I was reading, timely as it was, this discussion of foreign trade zones in this 1967 book at a time when foreign trade zones now are really coming on as becoming more important for our, you know, us to be aware of. And this idea of the foreign trade zone is simply this. In 1934, the Foreign Trade Zones Act, again, this is a little bit of a review from yesterday, repetition being a mother of memory, was passed by the Congress, under which it has been possible for firms in the United States to bring in foreign materials to foreign trade zones, where they could be processed for re-export or for sale in this country. So things could come in here partly assembled and then get their final assembly in a foreign trade zone or in a foreign trade sub-zone. Part of what Vicki was sharing with us yesterday. The advantageous aspect of the foreign trade zones is that goods from other lands involved in this procedure are not subject to tariffs, quota restrictions, or other customs regulations unless they are later destined for import into this country. So these foreign trade zones, some 250 plus of them set up all over the country now, these foreign trade zones could be like points of touchdown something comes in, touches down here, gets finished and gets shipped out, gets exported. So we have on one hand an import that never gets tariffed, never gets taxed, never really enters the customs system, that then just bounces down in the U.S. someplace for value added. You know, people come in, touch it and work on it, add things to it, and then or assemble it or add new technologies or new sciences to it, and then it just gets exported, and it never is dealt with, you know, it's never sold. There, it never finds an ultimate consumer in the U.S. Interesting little things. Another thing about these foreign trade zones was that they can have, like, a PX, for all the guys that are out there in the military that know the phrase, a post-exchange. They can have duty-free stores for all of the people that are involved in the foreign trade zone. So they live and work in a duty-free zone. And it's a federal zone. The title to the land being held by the FedGov. Interesting stuff in all of that. You can get that right out of the law, 1934 Foreign Trade Zone Act. Again, this processing may take place in the established trade zones, or more recently, the Foreign Trade Zone Board, which administers the law, has authorized the establishment of special purpose subzones. So there's really nothing new about this concept, except it's now rapid, widespread rollout. These are subzones, which are set up at locations away from the regular zones for the purpose of manufacturing operations. So you could have a federal trade zone, a small building, big, maybe a big building, at a local airport near you, and then they would have subzones where the actual work would happen. And some of these subzones could be located at a federal penitentiary, where prison labor could do the final assembly and putting together the filing cabinets and the computer desks and the chairs and things like that, business things, that then is sold to the government on contract. Clever little setup going on. This has resulted in zones. This has resulted in substantial cost savings in manufacturing goods for export. As the volume of international business grows, it is expected that there will be a commensurate increase in the use of foreign trade zones by firms who are in a position to take advantage of these facilities. And this is all just prophetic. It's all happened. Looking back to 1967, all this is behind us now. The volume of international business grows. It has grown. It is expected. They knew it in advance. They were forecasting it. It is expected that there will be a commensurate increase in the use of foreign trade zones, again, by firms who are in a position to take advantage of these facilities. For some manufacturers, where duties on manufactured parts are less than on the materials from which they are made, there is a substantial savings through the use of the zones for goods intended for use in the United States. So whether you're an importer, you're an exporter, whether you're a wholesaler or a distributor, you can make extra money, value-added monies, in these foreign trade zones and in the subzones. At present, again, this little section concludes, there are 5 zones in the United States today, over 250 and more. There were 5 zones then at New York, New Orleans, San Francisco, Seattle, Toledo, Ohio, and Mayagüez in Puerto Rico. So I just share that with you, just bring it to your attention, you know, a little bit more about foreign trade zones. When we come back, we'll talk briefly about the equilibrium theory of prices.
Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
Okay, so we come back with a little bit more now. You've heard about this idea of equilibrium theory of prices from various sources, and I just want to give you a little bit right again out of this textbook. Some of these little vignettes that the textbook authors have written intended to provide an overview back in 1967 can be very helpful for us. I like to read everything I can get my hands on. And, you don't proceed through this material, you know, just taking everything carte blanche, because we know that even as early as the 1967s, there was plenty of social reengineering going on at the time. We're in the middle of the Vietnam War period, Dorothy. Anyway, so let's just take this information to heart and tuck it away and then think about it and add to it from our own research. And certainly there's, I mentioned in the past that we do have a chat room at becomevocallocal.com for this broadcast. Some days I'm in there more often than not. I always have it up in front of me. I can watch what's going down in there. And one of our chatters, 10K Puddles, has a very good ability at being able to not only listen to the broadcast, but then to search out relevant information, supporting documentation, that you could then take it to the next level, take it up from here. So often we begin this process I've discussed in the past. I like to start with dictionaries, define our terms, and then as you read things, you keep going back. Now, if it's a legal term, you go into law dictionaries. Black's Fourth has been an excellent book. Black's Eighth, of course, Black's Second Pocket Edition, whatever your budget can handle. You get a law dictionary for all your legal terms. You can go into science dictionaries for scientific information. You can go into the common dictionaries for all other work. One of my favorites, American Heritage Dictionary, which has excellent roots helps you to look into the roots of the words and break them down. That's a good one. Also, if you're back in and you're trying to figure out things constitutional, things that happened 235 years ago when our country was founded, I use the and resort to the Noah Webster's 1828. Excellent dictionary. So we start in the dictionary, get our terms defined, lay it out real well, get our meanings and senses of the words, find out what's the most common usage, what isn't. You know, people talk about, you know, homophobia or homosexuality, and they talk about pedophilia, but Noah Webster has no mention of pedophilia, but he does use the proper term, the one that had been used through to antiquity, pederasty, all right? So there's little changes that happen. I've got dictionaries that come ahead. I try and find them by the decade. So every 10 years, I've got a nice set of 1960s and some 1970s and some 1980s and 1990s. Although I don't have a year 2000 dictionary, most of it's just obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, newspeak, gone wild. But anyway, let's go back in now. Price in relation to supply and demand. We hear about this idea, this concept, the equilibrium theory, okay, of prices. For a competitive situation, economists have advanced several theories to explain how the price of any given commodity is set. I mean, who sets the price on bread? Who sets the price on gasoline and diesel? Who sets the price on anything? And it's this points to this equilibrium theory of price. Here it is again. For a competitive situation, economists have advanced several theories to explain how the price of any given commodity is set, the movement of prices, and why the price level is where it is at any one time. And this morning, the price fixers in London, the London Bullion Market Association, they're just a bunch of the big banker boys. You know, they're not just all in London, they're all over the world, you know. They fixed the price of gold this morning in their AM price fixing at $1,492.75, which will be used by the mining industry and the bullion brokers and all that to deal with bullion throughout the day. But again, how are these prices set at what level at any one time? The equilibrium theory of prices, which probably has the largest number of adherents among economists. Now, again, this is 1967. You can go to the Institute of New Economic Thinking, George Soros and the boys, and their Bretton Woods II conference, and you can see that the economists today are rethinking their think. They're trying to find a better model. John Maynard Keynes and the Keynesian School of Economics is not working. You cannot possibly spend your way into prosperity. If you continue to rob Peter to pay Paul, eventually Peter is going to go broke, he's going to become despondent, and he's going to stop working, and when he does, then the parasitical Paul is going to go broke too, and he'll have to fall off Peter's body and take his parasitical ways over to China, the Hong Kong, Shanghai banking system, HSBC, and everything else, and they'll start preying on the Chinese and the people in Asia, which they're doing. The equilibrium theory of prices, again, which probably has the largest number of adherents among economists, assumes that two forces operate in the field of price, supply and demand. Now, you can go into any competent encyclopedia and study up supply and demand, or either word, supply or demand, and you'll find in a good set of encyclopedias, like my encyclopedia of the social sciences, you'll find lengthy articles. They really will go into it in great depth. It just depends on where your interest lies and why you're looking. But we talk about sustainable development. If I were to reduce down this idea, this United Nations Agenda 21 Program of Action for Sustainable Development, the agenda for the 21st century, I reduced it down 5 years ago to one word, and that word was demand. Because in order for sustainable development to work, we need to sustain demand for the environmental and developmental concerns. These are businesses, not emotions. All right? And in order for you to buy the CFL light bulbs instead of an incandescent light bulb, somebody has to create that demand in your mind that makes you think that an incandescent light bulb is just old school and make you rush out and buy one of these mercury-laden CFL bulbs for your house. Somebody needs to get you on the beam to make you want to rush out and buy four-star energy-efficient appliances and so on and so forth. Something is going to have to create that demand, and then there'll have to be supply to meet that demand. Let's continue. These forces bring about a price at which the quantity demanded by buyers equals the quantity that sellers are willing to supply. Let me say this another way. If you want to determine what the price is on really anything, the price is invariably, or with very few exceptions, the very highest amount, the highest price that a buyer is willing to pay, and it is the very lowest price that a seller is willing to sell his wares at. All right? That's how the price is always determined. Now, we can find out a lot more about that, which we won't go into that detail. It's here. It's in the book. But we won't go into that detail. But you can find this model used everywhere. Again, our author said it's the quantity demanded by buyers equals the quantity that sellers are willing to supply. And you're going to have equilibrium when that happens. Some of the units of the commodity that are necessary to make up this quantity are produced by those whose costs of production are so high that they make little or no profit, but who decide nevertheless to remain in business. So once we have a basic price that's been set, we say, okay, gasoline is going to be $2.65 a gallon or $3.50 a gallon. There are going to be some people who can't bring it to the marketplace and deliver it to your town at that price. But because they're in it for the long term, they buy long and stay long, they've got a huge capital investment, they'll sit there and continue to make minuscule profits or go into the red just to stay in the game. The other side of the coin is that there are those who are able to produce so low at such small prices that their profits are astronomical, and they're the ones that are in there propping up, shoring up, and sustaining those prices to make sure that their profits, like British Petroleum and Exxon and the others, just keep make sure that their prices stay up high. The theory further assumes that if the current price for a commodity is found to be above the theoretical equilibrium point, two things will happen, both of which will force the price downward. A, that the higher price will discourage would-be buyers. And so you can see that as we have a super glut of oil and they're throwing even more oil in, releasing the supply, you know, petroleum supply reserves, even though we've got this super glut of oil, at these prices, people would rather not go on a 4th of July holiday vacation someplace, but they would rather stay under house arrest in their homes than to pay this kind of money per mile to travel to see Aunt Nellie. All right? That the higher price would discourage would-be buyers, thereby reducing the quantity demanded. This is one of the hopes, the big goals, the aspirations, because these are the two elements that keep this equilibrium theory of prices in balance. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Visit us online at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, July the 1st, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, now entering our second hour of today's two-hour transmission. Lots of material, just kind of in my mind generally. Bringing out some things from the old textbooks once more. And I like to think of this as our own little internet homeschool classroom for the people that are not willing to just sit by and take this stuff quietly. But again, just as a kind of an underline here, is that, yeah, it is possible. You could go out and put yourself into debt for $200,000, $300,000. Okay, maybe $150,000 if you go to, you know, podunk you and get taught by a chimpanzee in a room full of baboons. But, you know, it is possible to short circuit that system. And instead of, you know, being asked to take 4, 5, 6, 8 years of your life away to go to these, you know, corporate indoctrination centers, you can just get the black and white in your eyes. You can just, you know, run up the antennas of discernment all the way and go and start grousing around the bookstores and the libraries and start finding the information, the books that you really need. I was advised by a intake counselor at a college I attended years and years and years ago. You know, I'm kind of just an aside. The guy told me I really shouldn't be in college, and I couldn't understand why. And he said, I'll just say what he said. He said, you're too bright to be here. You don't need to be in school. You already know how to learn. You got off to the right start. Just go in and find the things that you need to know when you need to know them and apply the things that you learn and just skip this. You'll be years and years ahead of your peers. And his advice was absolutely right. Never did need the sheepskin. I never even had to present a resume most of the time. I just knew how to do what the employer wanted to do, or I just started my own business. Okay? We got to get out of this wage slave mentality. Start thinking like entrepreneurs, you know. Be a walking salesman wherever you go. Look for a need and fill it, as George Gordon says. All right? So let's continue along then a little bit further here. And all we're doing is just going to a college textbook and filling our mind with everything that you would learn in a full quarter at a university or college someplace as an introduction to business. And if this teaches you everything you need to know and you can find out the rest of the answers on the internet, baby, you're in there. You're done. You're cooked. Serve it. You know, put it on the table. Slice it. If this doesn't, then maybe you'd grouse around and look for a 105 or a 200 level business course. If this really turns your motor over, then go to a 400. You know, go ahead and start doing, you know, writing thesis. Take these things apart and go in and research. Do all the research that you possibly can on the equilibrium theories of prices and write not just an article about it, but write a damn book on it. And then you, too, can be one of these grand poobahs, and your publicist can send me an email, and I'd invite you on as a guest on talk radio. You see? This is all it amounts to, really. Continuing. It says, the theory further assumes, then, that if the price for a commodity is found to be above the theoretical equilibrium point, two things will happen. We talked about number one. The higher price will discourage would-be buyers, thereby reducing the quantity demanded. It always has to balance out. B, the opportunity for profits afforded by the higher price will attract new producers into the field, whose added products will increase the quantity supplied. This effect of this reduced demand and increased supply will be to reduce the prices, probably below the equilibrium point. Let's take something simple. You live out in the woods, all right? You live out in the country. and you've got yourself a pickup truck, four-wheel drive, maybe a little trailer to go along behind it. You're all out of money. You're all got a lot of long on time and short on money. Well, you know, if you're a little bit handy with motors, maybe you can get yourself a good chainsaw and go to the woods and start cutting firewood. And if you notice that there's a shortage of firewood around, and especially as fuel and prices continue to go higher and higher, you can fill up your pickup truck with firewood and bring it home and stack it and split it and deliver it and sell it by the rick or by the cord and make a tidy profit. We'll talk more about that in a moment.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live.
Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Slobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So back into this discussion again in regard to the price relation, supply, demand, the equilibrium theory of pricing. Talking about a little model here, analogy, metaphor, whatever. In regards to wood cutting, you know, cutting firewood, for instance. You notice that there's a lot of demand. People are moaning and crying and complaining because they can't afford the increasing price of electricity or diesel fuel or heating oil. And so you look around and you see, my goodness, there's just, you know, there's dead trees laying all over the place. If I go over here and talk to Farmer Joan, we had a big ice storm here a month ago, and he's got trees down all over his 80-acre parcel here. I go talk to the farmer and see if I can get in there and cut that wood up. And he said, well, I'd love to have you do so. I can't even get in there. There's so many trees that have been falling, you know, they're falling down. Please help yourself. Don't hurt yourself. You know, you do it on your own risk, but you're welcome to come in down and take your truck down in there. If you get stuck, don't come up and ask me. Unless I'm really in a good mood, I won't use my tractor to pull you out. But, you know, you're welcome. If you want the wood, go cut it. And people do. And so you can get busy in the summertime, you know, all through the spring and when people aren't using firewood and all the way through the summer and all out into the fall, you can be cutting and splitting and stacking and curing and drying and measuring out ricks of firewood, you know, 4 feet high, 8 feet long, 18 inches wide, rick of firewood. And you'll sell it for $35, $45 a pop. Now, you're not going to get rich doing it, but you do that and you get busy at it and you find that a delivered rick may be $50. Delivered and stacked maybe 55, you know, right in Granny's front yard, right where she needs the wood, and close to the house, near the stove. So you do that, and other people start saying, hey, this old Tom over there, he's doing right well on that woodcut, and they call him Firewood King. Yeah, he's the king of the firewood in that area. And so you find other people flood in. Well, before you know it, you're going to have more firewood available than you know what to do with, and or if you're up in the place like Joplin where the tornado just came through, you're going to wind up with all this recyclable wood and metals and plastics and things like that. Absolute glut. The price is going to go to the bottom. And so this is supposed to be the equilibrium theory of prices, supply and demand. The diminished profits, well, I should say the effect of this reduced demand and increased supply will be to reduce the price, probably below the equilibrium price. And we can see when they throw open the strategic oil supplies that the price of crude oil drops. Now it's off $1.43 at $93.99. Of course, that's going to tend to really tick off the Arubs anyway. But we'll see how that works out. When this takes place, the results are the reverse condition just described. A, the lowered price attracts buyers, increasing the quantity demand. Hey, look at this, fire sale, man. We can get firewood this year at prices unheard of. Send me 3, 4, I'll take 6 of those ricks of firewood. Yeah, I want them delivered. Yeah, I want them stacked right here close to the front door. All right? Increasing the quantity demanded. And B, the diminished profits, which then occur for some of the high-cost producers to leave the field. So the guy's out there, he's got his four-wheel drive Ford with a 454, whatever he's running in it, and he's getting about 3.5 miles to the gallon. He's got the big husky chainsaw, and he's burning through gallons and gallons of chainsaw gas every day. You know, he's looking at his costs, and he's going, oh, man, I don't know how much longer I can take this. All right, but it's going to force some of the high-cost producers to leave the field, thereby reducing the quantity supplied. This brings about an upward movement of prices toward the equilibrium point. So not only is it logical, but that we can see how it operates around us, which gives us an understanding of why this equilibrium theory of prices probably has the largest number of adherents among economists. It's common sense. Makes sense, all right? Keynesian economics hasn't made sense to been from the beginning, but it's a pretty good scam. Anyway, but that's in a perfect situation. You know, that's where, in a free market, where supply and demand are allowed to work. But that's not always the way it works. Here, let's jump over to another section in prices and pricing in this textbook, price fixing by legislation. So on the one hand, we've got a bunch of gangster banksters who are sitting around here. They're fixing the price on gold and silver. Then we've got all the manufacturers out there, and they're really setting the price on silver because they know that they use silver creating the solar cells, and that's not going to work. The price of the rare earth metals, that's going to go through the roof as we build more of these little Chevy Volts and Leafs and things like that. Takes a tremendous amount, and all of these wind turbines, they need the precious metals, you know. All that's out there. But then you've got legislation. Legislation, in a number of instances, affects prices directly or indirectly. In most cases, the purpose of these laws has been to raise prices. You thought the government was on your side? Although the price control plan that was in effect during the periods of World War II and Korean War, of course they won't put that in a textbook today, was intended to prevent prices from rising under the stress of the unbalanced supply-demand situation brought about by these conflicts. You know, Rosie the Riveter, everybody poured out into the street and was working in the factories, making Boeing rich and making Lockheed Martin a name for themselves. And the DuPonts were just raking them in. They love it. War is salaciously good for profit. Anyway, the unbalanced supply-demand situation brought about by these conflicts, to the extent that goods be priced, come under within the influence of these enactments, the seller must be governed by them when establishing his price. So government got involved in the process of state price legislation. talk all the time about this idea, this notion of the all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. We're not allowing the natural law of the market to operate. We've got the status, the legal positivists, in on top of us. The actions of the various states in regard to price legislation falls into two categories. A, or one, fair trade laws, which legalize resale price maintenance, and two, unfair trade laws, with some variations, which endeavor to establish minimum price levels below which goods cannot be sold. And then it continues, and it goes on in this direction. Now, we can take it to the next level and find out more about this demand. Jump forward to Chapter 10, Advertising Problems, Criticisms of Advertising. All right. Advertising in general and individual advertisements have long been the target of adverse criticism. Some of the expressions of disapproval have been actually criticisms of business itself and many of its practices. Right, this being boldly stated in a business textbook in 1967. Among these have been claims that much advertising is merely competitive, that it stresses minor difference in products which serve the same purpose and are essentially the same, that it causes consumers to want, key phrase there, key word, want, and presumably to purchase goods they would not desire if they were not exposed to the advertising. You see? It's just advertising for green energy and green shoots and green this and green that and sustainable living and alternative this and value-added that, you know, and sustainable farming and all of this nonsense that's out there that actually creates the demand. And that demand, that want, is created in your ears by media and by everything from the academia, you know, from your Montessori school, right on out to the mortician. So let's continue. Again, it causes consumers to want. There's a big difference in life between the things that we need and the things that we want. We don't need to have a Wall Street marketing firm tell us that we need to have a drink of water. We're thirsty. Man drinks. We'll be right back.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio.
Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And, you know, you're out there in the listening audience and, you know, times are tough and everything like that, you know, and you're doing everything you can do. Maybe you're a young mother, young father, you're listening, you've got little ones coming or hope for that, you know, and you want to invest in your children's future, you know. Buy books. Buy books and buy lots of them while you still can. Find books. Be resourceful. Do a little dumpster diving behind the local library. Go to flea markets, you know, go near the back room, right near the back door, right where it looks like tomorrow morning it's going out to the rubbish. Get on your hands and knees and go into bookstores, you know. I've got a couple of really delightful books in my library that I got out of stacks of books that were then used to be the, have a board placed over them that then became a shelf for other used books. I mean, a good used bookstore is just loaded, chuck-luck full of books and, you know. They might not like me ruining their displays, but if that book at the bottom of the stack is the one I want, I'm going for it, you know? Anywho, back into the discussion, Criticisms of Advertising, Chapter 10, right out of this 1967 business textbook. You spend $200,000 to get an education when you just buy the book and read it? Anyway, and they don't even ask you to read it. I heard the other day on a radio broadcast that young people coming out of school today, you know, rarely assign more than 20 pages per quarter to read. Reading assignments, less than 20 pages per quarter. I read 20 pages before I finish my first cup of coffee every morning. Anyway, that's supposed to be a reading schedule? I don't think so. It continues. It says, in the criticism. No, let's see. It is, okay, back up a little bit further, Willie. It's a long sentence. Among these have been claims that much of the advertising is merely competitive, that it stresses minor differences in products. Yes, ours is blue, theirs is red, right? Just like the Republicans and the Democrats. Oh, no, you don't want to fall in league with those jackasses. You want to climb up on the back of our pachydermy. That's right. Because you know the pachyderms rule, right? Sure they do. Of course they do. Red is better. Better red than dead, I guess, for the radical red Republicans. Anywho, continue along. Again, among these have been claims that much advertising is merely competitive. It stresses minor differences in products, which serve the same purpose and are essentially the same, that it causes consumers to want and presumably to purchase goods they would not desire if they were not exposed to the advertising, and that it is designed to create demand for the product. Can't get any more honest than that. In answer to these criticisms, it should be noted that competition is a fundamental principle of capitalism, and of course this book, From Stem to Stern, is an apologist, you know, manual for capitalism as a system. And it's pretty well-founded. Good argument built here. Capitalism is not all that bad. If we could have a pure capitalism, maybe, if there was such a thing, we could stand with it. We could run with it. The basic tenets are all good. That product differentiation is a method by which producers of homogeneous products, homogeneity, you know, they put it all in a blender, food processor, and stir it up. It's just this iPhone versus that iPhone, right? Ultimately, they're just telephones, obviously. It's a method by which producers of homogeneous products endeavor to make their goods appear slightly different from those of their competitors. Remember blue jeans, you know, blue jeans?
Now, in the days of the hippy-dippy weatherman, well, we used to wear slacks when we were young, back in the 50s and 60s to school. Sometimes you'd even wear a school uniform. But then everybody got excited about jeans. Well, remember the old bell-bottom pants? Well, I can tell you that the reason why bell-bottoms came into existence, really, as part of the wear of the hip culture, was that we discovered that you could go to the Army-Navy store and you could buy swabby, five-button, bell-button, low-hip, you know, like hip-hugging, bell-bottom jeans, denims, right from the Army-Navy store, and you could get them in a bale. In other words, they'd have 10 pair tied together in a bale, and you could get them for a couple of dollars, like $2. You get a whole bale. You get six pairs of these Navy surplus, really, jeans. The swabbies is what they were called. And each of the little buttons had the anchor, you know, anchors away, my friend. Dirtbag cheap. And you'd go out and you'd want to buy some Levi's, you know, and they would be $7 or something. So you could save massively by wearing these jeans. Everybody did. You go down to the mall and buy a pair of $7 or $8 Levi's. You go to the Army-Navy store and pick up this bundle, and you don't even bother washing them. They're so cheap, you don't even get them dirty. Just throw them out. Tear them up, just toss them out. They're done. Cut them up, make a hat out of them. Some people would cut them up and make really interesting caps out of these things, or they'd use them to pieces to make patches for something else. That's where the bell-bottoms came from. Anyway, continuing. In the criticism that advertising creates demand, it must be admitted that many, if not most, advertisers believe that demand creation is one of the main functions of advertising. Demand creation. A demand for a commodity cannot exist without a knowledge of the availability of the commodity on the part of the potential user or the ultimate consumer. How can you even know that an iPad is out there unless someone first tells you that an iPad exists? And so then the advertisers go busy and they publish all this stuff. It's like reading the Bloomberg News articles each morning. I swear most days half of the material on Bloomberg are their IPOs, their initial public offering advertisements. Or they tell you about some special person that does some special thing. But demand must be more than just mere knowledge of the existence of a commodity. It must involve the desire for it on the part of prospective purchasers. So when I have my little advertising business on the sideline, just making business graphics and ads for newspaper, print ads and things like that, that was what I was trying to be creative. I had this one ad that was really, really effective. It worked. It was just the words, imagine. Now, that was long before GE came up with it. This was back in the 80s. Imagine. And then there was just this picture of this beautiful house plant there, and then the name of the store, Plants on Broadway. All right? Imagine. Plants. Boy, people came in and just bought them up. We had a big, all of a sudden, a rush at the front door of the store. In a simple word, imagine. Just building demand. You have to involve their desire, the passion, on the part of the prospective purchaser. It's very difficult for consumers to make their wishes known to the producers. I mean, when was the last time you ever picked up the phone? You know, one ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy. I would like to talk to Jeffrey Immelt. You know, he's the head guy there at GE. Hey, Jeffrey, I got this idea for a product. I could hardly wait to have it on the market. And people just don't do that. Instead, they go and wander the aisles at Walmart and see what the producers have created. Again, it's very difficult for consumers to make their wishes known to the producers in such a manner as to serve as a guide for production schedules in order to avoid the stalemate that might otherwise theoretically follow this situation. It is only natural that manufacturers should make what they think the public wants and then try to convince consumers that they should buy the advertised goods. Think about the television programming. And in the theaters, the movies that are offered, and the books down there at, you know, Best Buy, you know, I don't know what the books a million or whatever, you know. Think of that. You know, you go into a bookstore, here's all these books. Who on earth thought that you ought to read all this stuff? You know, go into a Walmart or something like that, and you look at all the clothing items. Who would ever think of this? You know, you can buy clothes, I guess, that are already worn out. Jeans, they have holes in them. God, if you want to buy some, I got a closet full. Let me know. We'll work a deal out, all right? Anyway, let's continue. It's only natural that the manufacturer should make what they think the public wants. There's obviously the possibility that goods produced and promoted may be of little value to the consumer. But this seems simply an inherent risk in a situation where the buyers are practically inarticulate. It's time to become vocal local, folks. We'll be right back.
Looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live.
Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Thousands of years ago, from the time of Moses to the time of Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and beyond, TrustedCoins.com brings you an incredible selection of authentic Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine ancient coins, all certified authentic by world-renowned numismatic expert Ilya Zlobin. Transport yourself to the distant past now at TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so we understand also from our previous discussions that, you know, you're looking at the, let's see, Federal Reserve and all things financial, that there's two different, let's take a balance scale, all right? We've got two pans on the balance scale. When it comes to all things monetary, on the one hand, you've got monetary policy. You put that in that one pan of your balance scale. That's what the Federal Reserve does. They have monetary policy. They can increase or decrease the amount of money in circulation, the supply of money, and they can raise or lower the interest rates, just being extremely simplistic. That's it. Animal Ben Salom, I love Israel Blank. He's been firing blanks for a long time. He's fresh out of straws. He doesn't have anything more to pull. He's tried every trick in the book, all right? And then on the other side, you have fiscal policy. And so you've got the A team and the B team sequestered away now in Congress, and they're trying to come up with this new budget-cutting miracle. It ain't gonna work, all right? And that's fiscal policy. So on one hand, you've got monetary policy. On the other balance scale, you've got fiscal policy, and it needs to be balanced out. We have to have a balanced budget, right? All right. And so then, now Timmy Geithner, little Timmy, you know, he's bailing on Obama. At least that's his plan. Here's an article off Bloomberg. Geithner told Obama he's considering leaving the administration after the president reaches an agreement with Congress to raise the national debt limit. All right? Geithner bailing out. All right? Any day now, we'll probably hear about the Bernanke going someplace else, too, find a better job. Here's another one. Goldman's central bank connections deepen. The revolving door between Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. and central banks is spinning again. This spinning door. This revolving door. Where's little Timmy Geithner going to go? He'll go back into banking, and he'll knock down the big dollars. He came out of the New York Fed. He'll probably go back to the New York Fed. Maybe he'll go over and spend some time at J.P. Morgan Chase. Maybe he'll go back over and spend some time with Goldman Sachs. But with Goldman, they got the door spinning again. And of course, Monsanto, their door's spinning all the time. They got a revolving door on their place, too. And people come in and out and come in and out, Congress and all the agencies, on a regular basis. So they only have these two little things. Now, how are you going to create jobs in a situation like all of this? Well, in order to create jobs, of course, you're going to have to create products. And the products aren't going to be made until there's a sufficient demand for the people to buy them. So the lag time there is enormous. We haven't even made the products yet. They're going to be the magic bullet to fix the economy. Those jobs people can't even be hired for those jobs because the factory hasn't been laid out, organized, and built yet. We're years out in this cycle. And so if we can rightly understand this idea about how important it is to create demand in the minds of the consumer, and if we can understand the state as government, the government as state, we've gone through that, and we can think about it as corporate, you incorporated, you're a little incorporation, I'm a little incorporation, like it or not, and that the governments, you can go up on manna.com, verify it for yourself, or look at the Corporation Nation DVD and understand that, but all of the government, those are all corporations too. In order for those corporations to be successful, they've got to be able to create demand for a product, some kind of a government product that people are going to be interested in buying into. We call that public buy-in. Right now, George Soros and company, they're all up there all along the Missouri River and elsewhere, and they're buying up, the U.S. Army is buying up all kinds of floodplain land. Of course, this fits into hazard mitigation planning. We've talked all about that, floodplain managers. And avoiding repetitive loss claims for the big insurance companies, and at the same time taking people up, moving them up out and away from all of the rivers and out of those rich, fertile valleys where they can actually feed themselves so that we can maintain the dependency on Monsanto and their genetically poisoned foods. All right? One of the biggest stories, I think, of the whole week was broke by Blacklisted News, independent media for independent minds, Blacklisted News, Doug Owen, when he was talking about this food freedom article by Ann Barnhart. Two huge intel leads in my email box this morning, she writes, from way back contacts that I've had for years are actually somewhat connected in concept. File number one, now it all makes sense. A Missouri farming and ranching contact just got off a conference call wherein he was informed that the federal government is sending out letters to all of the flooded out farmers in the Missouri River floodplain and bottoms, notifying them that the Army Corps of Engineers will offer to buy their land. Right? And then finding out George Soros is involved in this thing as well. Well, how do we go about selling all these ideas? We wouldn't have all these floodplain managers. We wouldn't have all of these hazard mitigation plans. We wouldn't have all these planning and zoning commissions all across America if it hadn't been sold. We wouldn't have the Smart Growth Network if it hadn't been sold. And how does it get sold? Well, I've got a clue. Maybe you will too. This is out of a pamphlet. You can get these from various sources. Copies of this and other North Central Regional Extension publications write to the publications office at the Cooperative Extension in care of the university listed for your state. If copies are not available or your state is not listed, contact the publishing state. Anyway, this comes out of the continuing education department, these are your extension offices to the land-grant universities. Land-grant universities. Some of these universities are the University of Illinois, Iowa State University, Kansas State University, Michigan State University, University of Minnesota, North Dakota State University, Ohio State University, South Dakota State University, University of Wisconsin. There's more. These are your land-grant colleges. And it's out of here that you get these extension agents. It used to be called county agents. And these are the ones that come out and dialogue everybody into consensus. They build demand. Supply and demand. They build demand for the green movement. Public policy education, key concepts and methods. Public policy education is an extension program. It's a university extension program. Of course, we can go back and find the beginnings of this with Sidney and Beatrice Webb, British Fabian Socialists, and Bertrand Russell and others. They had this capital idea of creating these land-grant universities and using this extension program as a way to reach out into the hinterlands. How can globalism transition from global to local if none of the people have a demand for the things that the globalists want? Well, they have to build that demand. And the way that they do that, the way that they bring this poison out, is they have to roll it out to the small town mayors and county commissions and things like that and tell them, hey, this is the newest thing. This is the way forward, brother. Got to get on board. Public policy education is an extension program that applies the knowledge of the university to public issues and educates citizens to enable them to make better informed policy choices. I mean, how do you even know about a CFL bulb? Well, you've seen it because you've seen 10,000 advertisements. And if you look at the bottom of the advertisements for smart meters and four-star energy appliances, you'll see that they're all being paid for with federal dollars. Public policy education is not new for extension. Heck no, that's what they've been doing all along. At least as early as the 1920s, extension educators were working with rural people on land use policy. There was extension workers working with people on land use policy. They got all those farmers along the Missouri River to come down and occupy that land that would flood out every year after the levees were built. Because they were told, hey, don't worry about it. These levees are just high enough and we'll hold the floodwaters back. Farm and farm away. You got the richest, blackest soil around. Come on in here and buy. And now they're flooding them out. And because they have now been able to use GIS, GPS, global governance system from satellite tracking technology, they'll be able to map out the new high water line. And all of that land will fall under the new dominion of the floodplain managers, and the FEMA people will come out and they will rule and regulate and bring in their body of model codes and model acts and tell you how you can and cannot live in floodplains. And they'll offer to buy out your land. And once you sell out, once they affect public buy-in there, the buyout program, you can never come back. That land is set aside. The deed is written. It's right in their own manuals. It's not imaginative, you know, imagination. It's the truth. It's written in the FEMA's own workbooks. It's part of the Hazard Mitigation Planning Program. The county commissioners go out there, they buy out that land. It's an 80-20 deal. The Fed Gov picks up 80% of the tab. In this case, it would be the Corps of Engineers acting as an agent, probably. And then the counties pick up 20%, but they kick the people off at the lowest possible price when it's standing with 3 feet of water on it. The people go away. They're never to come back. And that land is taken out of human use and habitation forever. And it says so on the deed, forever. Now, they might try something funny down the road after this generation passes away. Forever is pretty much, you know, a lot of hubris there. But nevertheless, this is how it all goes down. Public policy education is not new for the extension. At least as early as the 1920s, you can go back and look at the intercollegiate associations, intercollegiate writers, and I'm trying to think of it, some kind of club. Go back, Samuel Clemens and Walt Whitman and a bunch of socialists like that were all involved in it, some of them homosexuals too. Anyway, at least as early as the 20s, extension educators were working with rural people on land use policy. We'll pick it up right there and continue. Rather interesting material, at least I find it so.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Here's a great gadget that will enable your old FM radio to receive thousands of new internet radio stations. It's the size of a thumb drive, and it simply plugs into any USB port on your computer. Anything that you stream, Pandora, iTunes, this show through TalkStream Live, now plays on any FM radio. It's easy to use, sound quality is excellent, and has a range of up to 30 feet. The FM audio transmitter, including shipping, is just $29.99. Go to oraclebroadcasting.com and click on the banner right now.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So all of these rural counties along the Missouri River and the Mississippi River Valley and all of these floodplains all across America came under the influence of the enhanced 911 system, and then they went from there into FEMA's multi-jurisdictional all-hazard task force development and that planning system, and then they got the comprehensive planning and zoning, and then they got the building codes. It's a whole package. But they also got something else. They all got these certified floodplain managers. And you just go back at the timeline, step by step by step by step. First we have to have this, then we have to have that, then we have to have this. And this is a two-day program, two-day class, at least around here it was, in 2007, announcing the 2007 schedule for the tools of floodplain management, two-day workshops. This workshop will be offered three times during the year and will be conducted at the State Emergency Management Agency at 2302 Militia Drive, Jefferson City, Missouri. Registration on the first day will begin at 12:30, blah, blah, blah. There are three dates to consider, March the 13th, 14th, July, and September. Again, this is 2007, but it's a flyer. And mark your calendar now. Each examination will be conducted at a different location throughout the state of Missouri. Exam will begin at 9 a.m. and at noon, and we'll have a pre-exam workshop offered the day before so that they can make sure that you pass it at the same location beginning at 1 o'clock. Mark your calendars now.
Certified Floodplain Manager CFM examination. All right? Every county has one, including yours. And they're out there. They're dictating policy, and they're implementing public policy. And a lot of this stuff was generated from the land-grant universities and brought in through the University Extension Council. You've got one in your area if you live in the rural part of America. And also through the Chambers of Commerce, through speaking bureaus, through public service announcements, PSAs, through advertising fluff stuff pieces that are, you know, used by small town newspapers to round out their advertising. This is all stuff that's coming from FedGov being used, your tax dollars. They're going to use your tax dollars to buy these farmers off their property. And all the way around, it's just a bad deal. Rural land use. Now, let's say, over the past six decades, many of the policy issues have changed. That's right. But some have remained remarkably the same. So as much as the days and the week change, the underlying Agenda 21 remains the same. Rural land use, taxation, management of public lands, local economic development policy, agricultural policy, and many other public issues have been with us for many decades. And that's right. To this list, we could add programs on nutrition and health policy, many issues involving social welfare, poverty, employment, and a myriad of environmental policy concerns. A myriad of environmental policy concerns. Some of the methods of extension educators are new, such as educational telephone network, public television, or the statewide computer communications network. However, some methods are still the same. A county agent, a state specialist, some farmers and other local citizens meet in the town hall in the dead of the winter to discuss a major issue facing the town, the county, the state, or the nation. And this is why it is so vitally important for you to understand the basic concept of becoming vocal local, of getting started right in your local voting precinct, the fundamental building block of this country, and build a cadre, if you will, of informed individuals, property owners, people that live in the area, farmers, etc., so that when you discover someone who is Johnny on the spot and watching in the newspaper and sees an announcement or hears something down at the feed store, where you've got Monsanto or some bunch of other change agents coming to town in the dead of the winter, that you don't have to rush around and try and scurry up enough people to come in and just say no to globalism where you are. Just say no to the environmental agenda right where you are. You need to be a Johnny on the spot. You need to be ahead of the game. We need to be ahead of the curve. It's late. It's too late. It's way too late. If you're trying to put together an opposition on the day that they're rolling it out in town, on the day that they're rolling it out in town, they've already done behind-the-curtain meetings for months. They've already made their grant applications. They've already gone through this whole huge process behind the scenes, and the front meeting is just a public policy meeting. It's a consensus meeting to dialogue you and others like you into a common consensus on some international, typically Agenda 21-driven initiative, a program that fits into the system. The need for public policy education and the public's demand for information on public issues is probably greater today than at any time in the past. Changes in communication technology have made people much more aware of what is happening outside their local area and how they are affected by changes in the state, capital, national economy, or international trade. Citizens are also much more aware of the environmental impacts of activities such as manufacturing, forestry, or agriculture. Finally, local, state, and federal governments have assumed a much greater role in matters such as managing the economy, protecting the public health and social welfare, and improving the quality of the environment. And that's enough kind of words to keep you awake at night. At least it does me. They're so far beyond, above and beyond anything that we could consider to be a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government in this new administrative fourth branch of government It's unbelievable. People are increasingly interested in public policy issues and the activities of government. The combination of changes has transformed agricultural agents, home economists, resource agents, dairy experts, and most other extension county agents and state specialists into de facto public policy educators. Can you say change agents? A few years ago, most activities of extension agents and specialists might be have been viewed as giving technical advice. Today, many of these same activities are viewed as statements on public policy issues. Public policing, community policing, communitarianism. For example, an agricultural agent recommending a pesticide to a potato farmer can hardly afford to be unaware of the policy debate concerning the use of certain pesticides and environmental protection. The agent's quote-unquote technical advice, especially if he expands his efforts to include a public defense of farm chemicals, will be viewed by many, perhaps even a majority, as equivalent to taking a policy position against environmental protection. Of course, it never runs that way. Extension agents and specialists, you know, experts say, must be aware that at least part of their work involves public policy issues. Almost all extension agents and specialists are involved in policy, even if they do not realize it, and regardless of whether they like it or not. This is their own writing, my friends. I'm not reading a blog here. Extension's opportunity or obligation to educate the public on the major public policy issues of the day is the subject of this publication, which I'll share more from in the future. Now it's back on my radio table again. The philosophical basis, here we are at the home of philosophical radicalism, the philosophical basis for extension involvement will be very briefly reviewed. To be successful in public policy education, the educator must hold certain values. And we're all wondering about their values now. Profit good, loss bad. There's no consideration of the Ten Commandments. They've got so many commandments now, it's just all thou shalt not exist. But again, to be successful in public policy education, the educator must hold certain values, and these will be very quickly discussed. So now they're going to tell this potential university extension agent what values they must hold if they want to keep their jobs. Some organizational issues, prerequisites for successful involvement, will be briefly explored. The questions of what issues to choose, when to teach, whom to teach, and how to teach will be discussed. Who, what, when, where, and why to teach. The purpose of the entire publication is to stimulate thought and discussion on the opportunities and pitfalls inherent in public policy education and some of the practical issues involved in conducting public policy education programs. Even a highly technical subject, they say in a sidebar, may be involved policy issues best handled in a public policy education framework. And so they have these public meetings where they bring in the DARE officer and the Barky the dog, you know, and the dog handler. Or they teach you how to put condoms on a banana. Well, if we're all out of time, I'll be back on Monday, 4th of July. Until the next time, hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you then. Good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's ordinary. Every talk radio give you the laws.
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.